Hello, and welcome to the Brothers of Tamriel podcast. I'm your host, Jay Rumberg, and I'm joined here by my brother, Mission Maniac. Here we will be covering all the basics of Elder Scrolls Online. We're going to talk anything from news to dungeon mechanics and even builds. We're going to cover everything from the beginner level to the veteran level and everything in between. So this will give you a good solid foundation of the understanding of the game. Hopefully this will help you succeed a little better. Sit back, relax, and enjoy while we delve into the world of Nern.
Oh man.
Welcome back.
What's going on, brother man?
Oh, not too much. How you been?
Oh, pretty good. Pretty good. Enjoying this, for starters, my time off. I've had about 2 weeks off now, which is so good.
Yeah, so what you been up to? You're home now.
Oh, dude. Huh. This 100% XP buff going on. I think I've made 6 characters now on PC. Which I think does bring my grand total to 30 to 31 characters between console and PC.
Nice.
I got my, I'm almost CP 400. And actually I just rolled a Bobo Necro Kitty Cat.
The Bobo Crow.
The Bobo Crow. And dude, like on console, when I played the Stam Necro, didn't really care for it. It was kind of clunky. The Necromancer's abilities just felt more at home on a Magicka-based character. But farting around with this Bobo build with the Necro's abilities, I'm having a blast, man.
Well, good. Yeah, that's kind of an interesting build. What are you doing with it?
As of right now, I'm just going to follow Alcast. Just because I'm not real knowledgeable on the bow builds. I never really done them before. He does recommend using Reliquin and Zovgans. So I'm going to give that a whirl. They're both great sets. Yeah. So, and Alcast is a good player, so I don't know why it wouldn't work.
Yeah, exactly.
Just been leveling him today, kind of going through, got my Forge Breaker title.
Oh, nice. That's awesome.
With a random pug group on PC.
No kidding, you pugged it and got it.
Pugged Bloodroot Forge hard mode, one banged it, destroyed it. I mean, this group I was in, dude, I had my combat metrics up, and it was saying for the group DPS, every single boss I watched it, they didn't hit less than 112k together.
That is crazy.
Yeah, they're just smoking this stuff out of the water. Something
I wanted to bring up was we had talked about this, about how the pugging on console versus the PC is very different. Like, you could do veteran content no problem with pugging, like, every single time, pretty much, on console. Where
oh, yeah.
I've been seeing, like, my pug here on PC. Not everyone is up for that veteran level content yet, and it's a big difference that you and I were talking about that the other day, so I just wanted to bring that up.
Yeah, and like we were kind of talking about today, like I have a hard time actually getting people to do vet stuff on PC. I mean, don't get me wrong, we have a handful of people. I'm actually, both of us were part of the Lore Seekers Guild, and there's a bunch of people in there that, you know, they're awesome people, and they're ready to get that vet stuff done. But as far as like if there's, you know, if it's kind of dead, because I'm, with me being off work, I stay up pretty late, and I'll try to get some people, random people out in the overland to do some vet content, or even some of my guilds to do some vet content, and I usually just get crickets, man.
Yeah, that is something I've noticed is a little bit different between PC and console.
Yeah, I think From what I've noticed anyways, which granted I've only been on PC for about 2 months now, maybe 2.5 months, but the sweaty population seems to be more on Xbox. It seems to be more of them on Xbox than there is on PC, because like J-Rum was saying, you know, if you pugged a, just say a daily, for example, ICP, you know, Imperial City Prison, chances are on console, you're probably going to get your no death, and you're definitely doing hard mode. Where over here on PC, like, I've been farming for that tanking set, leeching, and the no death on the randoms that I've pugged, not happening.
Yeah.
Getting a speed run in there, not even close. And the hard mode, nah, not with the groups, not with the random pugs that I've ran with. Which is just, it blows me away. Now, don't get me wrong, I've played with very talented PC players. We're just more or less talking about the chances of a random group being good is what we're talking about.
Something that we both kind of noticed. Yeah. But I mean, there's both. It's two sides of a coin. You know, you'll have.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. There are some really bad players on console. Don't think we're trying to brag about console, because we both have switched to PC, and I don't know about J-Rum, but in the 2.5 months I've been playing on PC, I've turned my console on twice.
I've been doing a little bit of streaming there on console still. Maybe once or twice a week.
Well, that's more of your limitations, though, isn't it? Because of your computer.
Yeah, I can't really stream very well on my computer, so I've been popping over on console and just kind of farting around, doing some BGs, and just seeing what's going on. The guilds are still active, as far as I can tell, that I was a part of. So they haven't booted me yet, so that's good news.
Oh, man. But yeah, what have you been up to in game?
So I just hit CP 160. I just hit gear cap, so now
finally.
I know. Hey, I've got a normal job, man. I've got limited time. I need to do some farming now. So I'm like 170 to 180, somewhere in there. Still pretty low, but I finally got a little bit of CP to add into the equation of overland stuff, so that makes life a little easier on the overland and when you're out there just farting around. So now it's gear time. It's gear time, baby.
Gear time.
I just went to a guild vendor and real quick just got a couple random sets, and I just threw on for overland. I like to run Crafty Elfeek and Necro just for massive resource, and just because I don't need all that damage, you know. I love having massive resources when you're on overland. It's
fantastic. You can push like almost 50k Magicka with those two together, can't you?
Yep.
In mind, everybody, he does play a pet Sork. So he gets that Necropotence buff.
Of course, yeah, that's why, with Crafty Elfeek. And there's a combination of some other sets that require you to have a pet out, which is kind of interesting. I forgot, I know Crafty Elfeek is one of them, and then there's another set that you don't need a pet, and it still gives you some massive resources. So, actually there's a lot of good resource sets.
Yeah, there's a bunch of good sets out there for sure.
Anyways, so today we are talking about the Magplar.
Yep, we're gonna go over the Magplar, Elden Hollow 2. Real quick, this is the Brothers of Tamriel podcast. I'm Mission Maniac.
Yeah, let's joined here with ourselves. My brother.
Yeah, joined here with my brother J-Rum. Hello, today everybody. We are cut short on a little time, so for the news and some of the other stuff, we're probably going to go through it a little quicker than what we normally do.
Yep.
But we realize we're like 2 weeks behind on putting this episode out, so we want to get this out today. And so yeah, just bear with us. We might be getting a little speedy on this episode, but there is that rewind button if you miss anything.
Yep.
So without further ado, and let J-Rome take over on the news.
Yeah, we're going to dive right into it here. There's just a couple things that I want to talk about. So, number one is it's November. It's the beginning of a new month, so you guys know that what that means. We got a new Crown Store showcase. So, we've got crowns for November that are out. Go check them out. I'm not going to cover everything in there. So that's just one thing that I wanted to touch on. Another thing here is we've got... let me see. The Lore Master's Archive, which that was talking about dragons in the second era. And that's a good read for... These are all on the forums, by the way. So, the community has lore questions about dragons during the time of the Elder Scrolls Online, and we have answers. Check out the latest Lore Master's Archive, written by Lore Master Leman Tuttle himself. So, this is a pretty good read. It's written by the new Lore Master himself, so you guys go pop over to the forums and check that out. Next up, we got Explore Tamriel Free for a limited time in the Elder Scrolls on. So, we've got a nice little play for free event going on. Experience the Elder Scrolls Online free during our next free play event. The free play event kicks off November 6th at 10 a.m. and it will run until Wednesday, November 13th at 10 a.m. During the free play period, you can download and play the ESO base game for all platforms, free, no purchase necessary. So that's pretty nice to get some new players in here, into the mix, and see what this is all about. So that's coming up in, what? That's tomorrow? Yeah. Yep, that's tomorrow for our recording date, and that's pretty awesome. Another thing that's going on right now is, I'm sure everybody knows, we just got finished up with Halloween, the spooky season of the year, and that means that the Witches Festival is happening. This is one of my favorite events. It's a great time to make a new tune. Great time to level up, your lowbie tunes, and
which is why I've created 4 new tunes.
yeah, exactly. Now's the perfect time to do it. You get 100% XP buff with the whistle, that Witch Mother's whistle that you use. It's a perfect time to be leveling right now, and. That with this new free play event that's coming up is gonna be it's kind of a good combination of, you know, get new players in and see what an event is all about.
And keep in mind, your XP scrolls stack on top of the 100% buff that we have going on right now. So if you got a 50, 100, or even 150, use them. If you're rolling low bees or even if you're just trying to grind CP, I mean, you throw 150% scroll on top, you got 250% XP going. I mean, it's glorious.
Yeah. If you even have Ethereal Ambrosia or what's the other one? Psychic Ambrosia. To pop those guys on, they attack with this whistle. So that's pretty nice. But those ambrosias don't stack with scrolls, unfortunately. That would be fantastic.
It's so dumb that they don't. Two different consumables. No. I mean, come on, Zoss.
Yeah, what's up with that? So next up, we got Twitch Drops available for consoles? What? This is pretty crazy, and I gotta say, after switching to PC, I'm quite displeased to hear this news. Because of all the years of me watching streamers on console, you know, as of me playing on console, I never got anything, you know. I never got any drops or any love from the community in any way. So this is good for the consoles, though. They needed this.
It is about time, you know.
So Twitch drops are now available for Xbox One and PS4 users. Just check out this article on the forum to learn more about how you set up your console ESO account and start earning rewards. So just check out on the forum and... yeah, that'll tell you what you need to know.
Heck yeah.
Moving on here, we're talking the Magplar today.
Oh yeah, my baby.
So we're gonna dive right into it. How are we looking on time, Mission?
We're doing pretty good. Still got about a half hour or so we should be able to blast this out.
Okay, cool. So, we've got, as a Templar, you have three class skill lines, just like every other class. They are Aedric Spear, Dawn's Wrath, and Restoring Light. And I'm going to just cover the Magicka. I'm going to cover the bases and the Magicka morphs of our active abilities here. So... first up, we got Puncturing Strikes, which we did the Stamplar, didn't we already?
No, we have not done the Stamplar yet.
Okay.
We will next week.
In that case, I'm just going to cover the... I'm going to keep on right here. Puncturing Strikes, you launch a relentless assault, striking enemies in front of you four times with the Aedric Spear. And it deals 970 magic damage to the closest enemy and 371 magic damage to all other enemies. And this is an 8x6 meter conal attack, so that's kind of your range of motion there with that attack. Each strike reduces the movement speed of the closest enemy by 40% for 1 second, which is just hilarious to me in PvP. I love slowing people down, and it just cracks me up. Next up, we have Piercing Javelin. Hurl your spear at an enemy with godlike strength, dealing 1599 magic damage and knocking them back 8 meters. This attack ignores the enemy's resistances, which is really nice. It just cuts right through them. And keep in mind, your numbers are going to be completely different than mine, because... obviously, I am geared up in a certain way that you might not be, and I might have attributes in ways that you might not. So your numbers are going to definitely vary from what I'm saying. Next up, we have this Focused Charge. Charge with your Divine Lance to impale an enemy, dealing 1599 magic damage. If the enemy hit is casting, they are interrupted, set off balance, and stunned for 3 seconds. This is a very nice gap closer right here. And it's your hard CC. That's how you stun people in PvP as a Templar. Next up, we have Spear Shards. Send your spear into the heavens to bring down a shower of divine wrath, dealing 1999 magic damage to enemies in the area, and an additional 186 magic damage every 1 second for 10 seconds. And this is going to give you a synergy. An ally near the spear can activate the Blessed Shard synergy, restoring 3960 magicka or stamina, whichever is higher. And finally, we have sun shield. Surround yourself with solar rays, granting a damage shield that absorbs up to 3507 damage for 6 seconds. This portion of the ability is on your max health. Nearby enemies take 1999 magic damage when the shield is activated, and each enemy hit increases the shield's strength by 4%. So those are your base active abilities as a Templar. And the Magicka Morphs are as such. Starting back over with Puncturing Strikes, is Magicka Morph is Puncturing Sweep. The new effect here is you heal for a percentage of the damage done. So as you launch that Relentless Assault with your spear, you're going to heal for 43% of the damage done with this ability. The Piercing Javelin base ability, the magic of Morph, is Aurora Javelin. And this is going to deal additional damage based on the distance that the spear travels. And that's pretty nice. Focus Charge. This has, each of these are Magicka Morphs. Deals damage and interrupts all enemies near the point of impact, and it also increases the damage dealt. And the other, Toppling Charge, always stuns the enemy and sets them off balance regardless if they are casting. So Explosive Charge and Toppling Charge are both Magicka Morphs. The Spear Shards based ability are also Magicka Morphs. Luminous Shards, the synergy grants additional resources and reduces the cost as the ability ranks up. And Blazing Spear, the difference here is this increases the damage dealt. Sun Shield, the Magicka Morph here is, again, both of them, Radiant Ward, which has reduced cost, and the shield is strengthened for each enemy hit. And Blazing Shield, which the new effect here no longer deals damage to enemies on activation. Instead, deals damage when the shield expires based on the amount that it absorbed. That's kind of nice. So that covers the base of our Aatrox Spear skill line and the Magicka Morphs behind them. Next up is Dawn's Wrath. We've got Sunfire. Blast an enemy with a charge of radiant heat, dealing 1331 flame damage and an additional 3000 flame damage over 12 seconds. Upon activating, you gain Major Prophecy, increasing your spell crit by 2191. So there's your Major Prophecy buff right there. And both of these morphs are Magicka Morphs. Vampire's Bane, the new effect here, the damage over time lasts longer. And Reflective Light, the new effect, splits the projectile, allowing it to affect 2 additional nearby enemies, briefly snares enemies' hits, and it is also what it does. So that one both both of them as Magicka Morphs, which is kind of a trending topic here for the Templar, as we were seeing. Next up is Solar Flare. Conjure a ball of solar energy to heave at an enemy, dealing 3,494 magic damage. Also grants you power for 5 seconds, increasing the damage of your next light attack by 40%. So there's your Empower buff, if you're looking for that. Dark Flare is a morph. One of the morphs of it, which applies Major Defile to the target and nearby enemies, reducing their healing received. And Solar Barrage deals damage in multiple blasts around you instead of at a single enemy. Backlash is our next ability up. Summon an expanding beam of pure sunlight to doom an enemy, dealing 1331 magic damage to them and copying all the damage taken from you for 6 seconds and releasing 20% of it as additional magic damage to them. That is pretty nice. And then your maximum copy damage is going to be 11,564. So, that's kind of one of the Templar's bread and butter abilities. The magic morph of this is Purifying Light. The new effect is when the effect ends, a pool of sunlight remains attached to the enemy, healing nearby allies. Next ability up is Eclipse. Envelop an enemy in a lightless sphere for 6 seconds that harms them with growing intensity anytime they use a direct damage attack, limited to only one of these. So their first attack reduces their movement speed by 30%, which there's another movement speed reduction, which always cracks me up, for 4 seconds. Their second attack immobilizes them for 3 seconds, and the third attack stuns them for 3 seconds. That's pretty nice. Both of these are magical morphs coming up. Living Dark. You now apply the ability to yourself. Enemies who attack you are snared and heal you. And Unstable Core, which deals damage to the attacker and any near them when they are triggered any of the effects. Next up is Radiant Destruction, or what else is this known as mission?
Radiant Oppression is the match, is the main morph that people use.
Yeah. Yep. This is known as the Jesus Beam, right?
Yes, the nickname, old Jesus Beam. Yeah.
So, burn an enemy with a ray of fire, dealing 2,739 magic damage over 1.8 seconds, and this deals up to 480% more damage to enemies below 50% health. That's why it's called the Jesus Beam, because it hurts when you're below 50% health. This...
Oh yeah, yeah, I've seen parses where the Radiant Oppression is ticking for over 100k.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. 480% buff below 50% health. That's just ridiculous. And the two morphs of this, they are both magical morphs. We have Radiant Glory, and the new effect is you heal for a percentage of the damage inflicted, and Radiant Oppression. And this new effect deals more damage in proportion to your current magicka. That covers Dawn's Wrath, the skill line Dawn's Wrath. The next skill line up is Restoring Light. And our active abilities are Rushed Ceremony. And this beacon your inner light, healing yourself or a wounded ally in front of you for 3,224 health. This both has magical morphs, which the first up is Honor the Dead. The new effect refunds part of the ability's cost when used to heal an injured target. And Breath of Life, which everybody knows a little bit about Breath of Life, I'm sure you've heard it throughout your journeys, heals a second target for 1/3 the amount, is the new effect of Breath of Life. Next up, we have Healing Ritual. Focus your spiritual devotion, healing you and nearby allies for 3,224 health. The first morph is Ritual of Rebirth. The effect is you heal a single ally outside the ability's radius. And Hasty Prayer. This new effect, healed allies gain minor expedition for a short duration. Next active up, we have Restoring Aura. Champion the cause of divine glory to apply minor magicka steel to all enemies around you for 24 seconds, causing you and your allies to restore 300 magicka every 1 second when damaging them. And just while this is slot, you gain minor fortitude, minor endurance, and minor intellect, which increases your stamina. Health, stamina, and magicka recovery by 10%. The morphs of it, Radiant Aura, increases the radius, and repentance no longer applies minor magicka steel on activation. Instead, you consume corpses to restore health and magicka. And this is a nice ability because it's free, so it's just a nice resource return. Next up, we have Cleansing Ritual. Exalt in the sacred light of the Aedra, cleansing up to 2 harmful effects from yourself immediately and healing you and nearby allies for 690 every 2 seconds for 12 seconds. Allies in the area can activate the Purify Synergy, cleansing all harmful effects from themselves and healing for 1,746 health. This ability scales with your highest offensive stat. And the first more for this, we have Ritual of Retribution. Exalt. The new effect of this is the area now harms enemies who enter it. And the next morph of it is Extended Ritual, which increases the duration and the amount of harmful effects cleansed from yourself. Next active ability up is Rune Focus, which I love this ability. Create a rune of celestial protection. While active, the rune grants you major resolve, increasing your physical resistance and spell resistance by 50-80. Standing within the rune increases the physical resistance and spell resistance granted by 50%. And the magicka morph of this is Channeled Focus. And the new effect is it restores magicka. And that covers all of the active abilities of the Magicka Templar. Now,
so this week, I know we normally go over passives, but like we said at the beginning, we are cut short for time this week, so we're going to kind of skip over the passives this week. Just do yourselves a favor, look at those passives, read them over. They're all very important.
Yep, we'll talk a little bit more about those on the next, when we do the Stamplar. We'll hit on the passives.
Yeah, we'll have more time on the Stamplar.
Okay, next up is, we're going to be talking rotations and builds. I'm going to turn it over to you, Mission. What do you got for us?
All right, well, so the builds are basically the same as the mag class that we've already gone over. Now, I have parsed both Sororias and Mother Sorrow and False Gods and Mother Sorrow, and very similar, very little difference. So I would, with this new patch going on, because they did kind of nerf sustain a little bit, I would recommend just wearing False Gods. You still get spell crit, and I believe you even get a spell damage in there somewhere. Now the rotation that I've been doing is just the kind of the old school spammable rotation. So I do Blazing Shards, Elemental Blockade, Solar Barrage, Degeneration, Power of the Light, or Purifying Light, whichever the one the mag is, and then followed up by 4 or 5 elemental weapons. Now, when I do this parse, what I do is I Blazing Shards is on my front bar. That way I can hit Blazing Shards, bar swap to my back bar, do Elemental Blockade, Solar Barrage, and what's the other ability that I use on my back bar? I don't remember. But yeah, you want to stagger, or try to get used to staggering your AoEs. That way you can animation cancel them with a bar swap. So you'll throw Blazing Shards, bar swap, that'll cancel it. Once you get it down, it'll almost look like the shard just kind of comes out of your shoulder, like your character almost won't even throw it in the air. Blazing Shards, Elemental Blockade, Solar Barrage, then your Degeneration. I'm missing one. I'm loading into my tune right now. Now, if you're having sustain issues on this, you can throw Channel Focus on your bar. Oh, no, that's all I do. Yeah, that's right. Okay, so yeah, so Blazing Shards, Elemental Blockade, Solar Barrage, Degeneration. Let me see what that skill is called, because I know it's not Power of the Light. That's the Stam version. Purifying Light, yeah. Purifying Light, and then, like I said, 4 or 5 Elemental Weapons. Now, make sure when you guys are doing a parse, you take your Spell Power Pots, let them run down to about 25 to 20 seconds before you start your parse. And make sure you start with an ultimate. I use Ice Comet on my front bar and Empowering Sweeps on my back bar. Start off with the Comet, and then every ultimate that you have after that, use Empowering Sweeps because it gives you a buff to your light attack damage. And that's basically the Templar's rotation, the basic rotation anyways. There are other rotations out there. Xynote has off-balance build and stuff like that. Channeled Accelerate. I do use that. You can use Barb Trap if you want to throw that in there instead of Channeled Accelerate, because Channeled Accelerate, it lasts for, I think, 36 seconds, so you'll have to reapply it. I think it's like every third or fourth rotation, and it does take 1.3 seconds to cast. Just keep that in mind. And that's pretty much, I mean, execute phase, what you want to do is your AoEs. So during execute phase, and I'm talking 25% and below, Blazing Shards, Elemental Blockade, Solar Barrage, Radiant Oppression, 3 of them, and then just do that over and over and over again. If you're running Rearming Trap or Barb Trap, I mean, you'll do your first execute phase will be Blazing Shards, Elemental Blockade, Barb Trap, 3 Radiant Oppressions. Start over, but you're gonna alternate Barb Trap. You're only gonna put it down once every other rotation, because it lasts long enough to get through a full rotation without having to reapply it. With that being said, monster sets, Zons, Grothdar, Valkan Scoria, the same basically. So we did say we're gonna blaze through this a little bit, so sorry if I'm being really, really quick about this.
No, you're good,
we're
man.
We're gonna hop right into Eldin 2. Our bosses we have here are Dubrose the Infester, Dark Root, Azura the Frightener, Murklight the Shadow Guard, and then finally, one of my favorites, Bogdan the Nightflame.
Yes, Bogdan.
Yes, of course. So, Dubrose the Infester. It's a stack. It's a stack and burn. He's got a frontal AoE with fire damage. That's about it. Kill the adds first. Tank, grab aggro, DPS, do your thing. Darkroot, same thing. He does. Darkroot does summon bugs that drain your stamina and magicka resources, so you do want to kill them first. We are talking vet. so take care of them. Go ahead and in the bugs, I do believe. Once killed, the area where the bug died will buff one player within it for magicka blue or stamina green. So if you did run low from that, if you guys didn't kill him fast enough, you can get some of it back. Next one is Azura the Frightener. This one has those mind control. It's a Twilight, or a Matriarch, I mean. It's a big Matriarch. This one has those mind controlling adds. So killing them is pretty important, especially if you are a little low, if you do have a little low DPS, because once they grab a hold of you, it's a pain in the butt to break free, and they just make you do whatever they want. Azura has this shout attack, but if you don't interrupt it, it will stun the party, but like it can be interrupted. Other than that, this is basically another stack and burn. Murklight is actually one of my favorite fights. So he is a lurcher. And he'll come out of the portal, and what's going to end up happening during the fight, there's at the very beginning you got 3 adds. I think you got to kill. You kill them. He comes out, and then somewhere in the fight, what's going to happen is he's going to put 3 AoEs on the ground, and they're going to be damage AoEs to start. Then all of a sudden the screen is going to go into like a negative effect, and those AoEs are going to turn white. And that's actually when you want to get into them and stand in them until it's like an explosion or something happens. And the little negative effect on the screen goes away, so then you can return to fighting. But it's one of the coolest mechanics. I love it. The Shadow Guard. This boss is actually where the final boss is on Elden 1. So it's in the same room there. This one is has a lot of adds at the beginning. So you want to grab that. And also puts a large AoE on the ground. And I believe that AoE is a one shot if you get hit by a DPS and healer. So the tank needs to be sure to not lose aggro. Range DPS is gonna have the easiest time with us because of that AoE. You don't have to be close. But yeah, just don't stand in stupid and nuke her. And then finally, Bogdan. He is a giant titan, and makes my heart race whenever I see him.
Yeah. Titans.
Oh yeah, yeah, for sure. So he's not super hard to defeat, but he does have some hard hitting abilities. He has this particular one where he like jumps in the air and then he comes back down, slams on the ground, and when he does, he shoots fire, blue fire, out from around him. And if you get hit by that and your healer's not on it, it's gonna hurt or even kill you. Because I do believe it even puts a little dot on you, a little burning dot. So the initial hit will drop you down really low, and then that dot, if not healed or cleansed fast enough, that dot will finish you off. The other thing is, there's one other thing that he does. Oh, he does, he spits, or I don't know if he spits or not, but he shoots out fire AoEs over the board, so you want to watch those as well. He does have a huge hitbox, so you don't have to be very close to him. But this is, like most, stack and burn. The hard mode on this one, super easy. Read that scroll. I think it gives him a little bit more health. Maybe his stuff hits a little bit harder, but it's really not much different than regular. Go ahead, knock that out. And then once you kill this big boy, you get the monster helm. Which is, I believe, Night Flame is what it's called. Yeah, it's just called Night Flame. It's for healers. It was the meta set last patch after they nerfed Earthgore. I'm not sure if it's meta anymore. I think somebody told me that the Rakumgaz, so the Dwarven Spider, I believe that's the meta now for healers. But the Night Flame Helm, the one piece gives you 1096 max magicka. And then the two-piece, when you heal a friendly target, you have a 10% chance to summon a totem for 6 seconds that heals you and your allies in the area for 2,541 health every 1 second, and this can occur every 10 seconds. Now, that heal number is going to be different based on your gear and stats and your champion points. So that's just generalization. That's just the general number that they give you. Shoulders, to get the shoulders, just go over to your Maja Regathe and be able to pick those up from her. And that, my friends, is Elden 2. All
that was very
I said, I apologize for having to go through it really quick, but my wife and kids are gonna be home here soon and it's gonna get loud.
No, it's no problem at all.
So real quick,
we
have a Twitch channel, twitch.tv/ Brothers of Tamriel podcast. Come on over every day, whenever you want to, whenever you see us live. Go ahead and hop over, give it a follow, and turn on the notification so you can see when we go live. I do run that particular page, but me and J-Rum do hop in together quite often. Twitter is... I think it's Brothers of Tam, right? At Brothers of Tam?
Yep.
At
Brothers of Tam.
And we do have a PC guild, Brothers of Tamriel, on PC, NA, that is. You can add myself or J-Rum. My ID is at MissionXXManiac.
Mine is at JRumberg2.
Yeah. And actually, I was just getting ready to do that. That's basically where you can get me and all my fun. We have an email, Brothers of Tamriel podcast at gmail.com.
Yeah, we want to hear from you guys. Shoot us an email. We want to hear your guys' opinions and what your guys' feedback. You can find me on, I'm on Twitch at twitch.tv/jrumberg. I'm on Twitter at Jeff Another Shot, and my Twitter or my Twitch is going to be just another extension of the Brothers of Tamriel. So yeah, it was good talking with you guys. Travel safe and fight hard.